Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jai Gopi Janavallabha Girivara Hari. Jai Gopi Jai Gopi Janavallabha Girivara Hari. Jai Gopi Janavallabha Jasoda Nandana Bhaja Jana Hanjaya. Jasoda Nandana Bhaja Jana Hanjaya. Jamuna Thira Havana Jahadhyam. Jamuna Thira Havana Jahadhyam. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Hobi Janna Vallabha Giri Paradhana Dhyana Gopi Giri Paradhari. Hobi Janna Vallabha Giri Paradhana Jasoda Nandana Bhaja Jana Hanjaya. Jasoda Nandana Bhaja Jana Hanjaya. Jamuna Thira Havana Jahadhyam. Jamuna Thira Havana Jahadhyam. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari.
Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahans Parivaja Kacharja Astotra Sata Sri Siman His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. His confounder Acharya His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Raj Granta Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Sri Hari Nam Sankirtan Ki Jai. Sri Sri Kishore Kishori Ki Jai. Sri Sri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani Ki Jai. Sri Sri Gaur Nittai Ki Jai. Gaur Premanandi. Glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. So, every day before class, we're giving a little tip on japa. Who remembers the first tip that I gave 2 days ago? Say again. Trying to help our concentration on the mantra by really emphasizing concentration on the first hare. That helps to enter into the mantra with more attention. It's both practical in terms of connection, and it's also philosophical. As we approach Krishna through approaching Krishna through Radharani. So Radha is Hare. How many have been doing that regularly and remembering? Is it helpful? Jai Jagannath? Yeah, it helps. It's extremely. Yeah, it's very helpful. I found that extremely helpful in my japa this morning. Just by doing that, the whole mantra was able to hear nicely. So, and that keeps the mind more connected also. And this is Sachinandana Maharaj. He carefully studies the whole process of chanting from all angles and comes up with these realizations. So this is what he's been preaching in his newsletters. How many of you get his newsletters? Amrita Vani? Nobody? Oh, they're available. They're deep into the holy name. If you really want to go deeper into the holy name, just ask me. I'll give you the link and you can get the newsletters online. It comes online. So it's usually 2 or 3 pages. But it's all about chanting, the whole thing. And it's nicely done. What was the second thing? The second day we also spoke on a particular principle that would help. This was more from the negative point of view. Yeah, don't try to finish. This is a little bit of an ISKCON disease. When the idea is that I got so much service and I only got so much time and this is my time for chanting, therefore I got to squeeze it in. You squeeze it in, you squeeze Krishna out. Krishna doesn't... Just imagine, if someone is actually calling you, but they're calling you so they can ultimately get rid of you, does it make any sense? So Krishna, he knows. So we're calling him, but at the same time we're thinking, I can't wait to get rid of him at the same time. I got to call him because I'm told to. But at the same time, really, it's all about finishing. So it's easy to fall into that. So, but just be careful. And that's overcome by just trying to meet Krishna in the name by chanting attentively and chanting with devotion. Not so much concerned about finishing the rounds. It's better to chant purely than to chant what we say. Yes, Jagannath. Yeah, Purnya Sankap, yeah. It's easy to fall into. Yeah, that's the key. Yeah. Yeah, and then you have to fight with that, what we say, that mentality that has so many things to do when it's already late in the day. So it makes it harder, obviously. So in Srila Prabhupada's instructions on chanting, one of the things he emphasizes on is early rising. And completing your rounds, you said before 10 o'clock, but I try to complete my rounds before 7 o'clock, and I find it's easier that way for me to do everything else. And he also said rounds chanted before Mangal Arati have greater potency than rounds chanted after Mangal Arati. So he said each round chanted before Mangal Arati is worth 4 rounds chanted after Mangal Arati. So you actually see that there is certain auspiciousness in early chanting. It's nice to get up early and chant. So, of course, you have to pace yourself where you're all of a sudden, sometimes, like just recently, one devotee came up to me and said, Maharaj, you know, I'm going to get up at 1:30. I said, don't do it. You're not going to be able to do it. You're going to be tired, and you're going to find it's going to work against you. So I said, get up at 3 instead of 1:30, and then that's a little bit easier. And then from 3 to 3:30, you can take care of your hygiene, and then from 3:30 to 4:30, you can chant from 7 to 8 rounds if you're chanting nicely. And then you have the second japa period right after Tulsi Puja before greeting of the deities, and then you have, another hour, 15 minutes, max minimum, hour and a half maximum. So should be easy to not think in terms of completing the rounds if you give yourself. So get up early. Get up early. And getting up early really means taking rest early. Yes. You mean, do you want to strive for one sitting japa? Is that your program? You mean, in other words, do it later and you can do it in one sitting? I think if you had to compare the two ways of doing it, I would think early japa before Mangal Arati is much more beneficial. Then, even if you do it in two sittings, that's fine. Two is fine, yeah. I don't see anything wrong with that. Of course, if you want to do it the other way, that's fine too. Whatever works better for your hearing and chanting, that's the most important principle. These are things we can consider, but they're not absolute principles, they're considerations. Getting up early, chanting like that. So, today's japa message? Today's japa message is, don't try to force quality. Prabhupada talks about that. You can't force quality into your japa. You can only hear nicely, and quality will manifest by Krishna's mercy. Because quality ultimately is Krishna, so you can't force quality to manifest. He says, just try to hear nicely. He said, that's not within your power to make it qualitatively. Just do your best to approach the name in the proper way and Krishna will do the rest. Quality will manifest by Krishna's mercy. So just hear. So chanting means hearing. That's all. If you're forcing quality, that's another indication that japa is about you. It's about you. In other words, you're trying to get something from Krishna. Krishna, give me some zingo pleasure. Woo, gotta feel good. If it feels good, do it, right? That's what they say. So if it doesn't feel good, don't do it. So you might think, if it doesn't feel good, I'll quit my japa. If I can't make it feel good. No. There's many statements on that one by Prabhupada. So don't try to force quality, just try to hear nicely. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam, any questions? Any more questions on japa? This is important. Yes?
Besides hearing, I'm not trying to get it done for a certain amount of time, what are the other aspects of quality?
What do they mean by this? Well, I call it devotion. Devotion is the real quality. Techniques just add to the devotion. If the devotion's not there, how is devotion not there? I'll give you an example. You only chant, you don't do any service. That's one way you can really consider you're not going to get much from your chanting. Because chanting is what? It's request for service. So, in your quality of your japa will never go beyond a certain level like that. So service, the service attitude is also the chanting attitude. Want to serve, yes. Well, that's a practical consideration. So that can be discussed with service authorities. And then that can be adjusted if there's some need to be adjusted. But if you feel like that, then discuss it. Practical. Okay. Himanshu, you had something? No? Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Fourth Canto, Chapter 31. Chapters entitled Narada Instructs the Prachetas, text number 3. Tan nirjitta prana mano vacho drisho. Tan nirjitta prana mano vacho drisho. Jitta sanan shanta samhana vigrahan. Premale Brahmani Yojitatmanaha Sura Sarenyo Dadrishe Sma Naradaha Tanirjita Prana Manova Chodriso Chita Sana Shanta Samana Vigrahan Paremale Brahmani Yojitatmana Sura Sarenyo Dadrishe Sma Nardaha We're losing half of you. Come on, let's go. Tan nirjita prana mano vacho drisho. Jita sana shanta samana vigrahan. Paremale brahmani yojitatmana. Sura sarenyo dadrise smanaradaha. Tan, all of them, nirjita, completely controlled, prana, the life air, by the pranayama process, mana, mind, vacha, words, drisha, and vision, jita asanan, who conquered the yoga asana, or sitting posture, shanta, pacified, samana, straight, vigrahan, whose bodies, pare, transcendental, amale, free from all material contamination, brahmani, in the supreme, yojita, engaged, atmana, whose mind, sura asura idya, worshipped by the demons and by the demigods. Dadrise, saw, sma, in the past, Narada, the great sage Narada. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. After practicing the yogasana for mystic yoga, the prachetas manage to control their life air, mind, words, and external vision. Thus, by the pranayama process, they were completely relieved of material attachment. By remaining perpendicular, they could concentrate their minds on the uppermost Brahman. While they were practicing this pranayama, the great sage Narada, who was worshipped by both the demons and the demigods, came to see them. Purport. In this verse, the word pade, amale are significant. The realization of Brahman is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. The absolute truth is realized in three phases: impersonal effulgence, Brahman, localized Paramatma, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan. In his prayers, Lord Shiva concentrated upon the personal features of Parambrahma, described in personal terms as Snigdha, Pravid, Gana, Shamam. Following the instructions of Lord Shiva, the prachetas also concentrated their minds on the Shambhasundar form of the Supreme Brahman. Although impersonal Brahman, Paramatma Brahman, and Brahman as the Supreme are all on the same transcendental platform, the personal feature of the Supreme Brahman is the ultimate goal and the last word in transcendence. The great sage Narada travels everywhere. He goes to the demons and the demigods and is equally respected. He is constantly described here as Surasaridya, worshipped by both the demons and the demigods. For Narada Muni, the door of every house is open. Although there is perpetual animosity between the demigods and the demons, Narada Muni is welcomed everywhere. Narada is considered one of the demigods, of course, and the word Devarshi means the saintly person among the demigods. But not even the demons envy Narada Muni. Therefore, he is equally worshipped by the demons and by the demigods. A perfect Vaishnava position should just be like Narada Muni, completely independent and unbiased. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gyanad Gyanachanakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapti Tam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swayam Padanti Kam Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pramuditananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we see here perfection on a certain level. And what is that perfection? That the prachetas, the sons of King Prachini Barhishat, were engaged in the yoga process. Yama, niyama, asana, pratyahara, pranayama, dharana, dhyani, and ultimately samadhi. The ninefold mystic yoga process, which was the means for self-realization in the Satya Yuga, where people's long life and power of mind control and ability to access, you know, various types of energies was very much optimum. Nowadays, it's not like that. The atmosphere is so polluted. So one cannot practice this system of yoga. One has to practice, as Lord Chaitanya gave us, and that's chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and doing practical service to the Lord. So here, this system, what was the result? They were able to control their life air, their mind, their words, and external vision. In other words, they were in control of all their faculties, both mental, intellectual, and sensual. And were to able to master what is called the pranayama system. So today you see people, they practice pranayama. But to achieve what we say a spiritual realization through pranayama is not possible in this age, because it's only 1/8 of the whole system. The best you can get from pranayama to this day is good health. In fact, it's mentioned that pranayama does give you good health, or it improves your health. But as far as a system for spiritual realization, it can't be practiced in this age. And so, the Prachetas mastered that system. They became what we say upright. The word here is perpendicular. And they were able to concentrate their mind on the Supreme Brahman in what is called the unmanifested form. In other words, they were completely free from all material attachments and absorbed in the Brahman effulgence. But that stage of realization is only part one. It's perfect, but it's only step one. Whereas ultimately there is no practical service to the Supreme. And therefore, until practical service to the Supreme is manifested, the higher principles of spiritual realization, such as transcendental bliss and transcendental knowledge, do not manifest. Through Brahman realization, one comes to the understanding, I am not this body, and one feels happy due to the freedom of being unencumbered by anything material. But what kind of happiness is that? It's like the happiness of being... Just like Prabhupada uses an example to describe impersonal Brahman happiness. He says, if I tell you, sit in this field all by yourself for eternity, the rest of your life, and you'll never be bothered by anyone or anything, you will think, what is this? You didn't want to talk to somebody. So it's kind of a lonely program. So therefore, one has to come to a higher stage. What does Brahman realization help us understand? That we're not this body. Not only understand it, you realize it, you know it. It's not a matter of intellectual understanding anymore. You know I'm not this body. You can see the difference between yourself and your body. You can realize that. Sometimes people realize that on LSD. They have these, you know, LSD takes one's consciousness into a Brahman type of realization, where one sees the oneness of everything. There are many devotees and others who have practiced using LSD and experienced the oneness of everything, where you don't feel separate from anybody. That's Brahman realization. You see no difference between yourself and somebody else, because on the spiritual platform there is no difference. But there is no love on that platform, nor is there higher transcendental knowledge. So one must go higher. And then the next step is to understand Krishna within the heart of all living beings, which includes the Brahman realization, but another step up is Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmani Gavini Hastini Suni Chaiva Sapake Cha Pandita Samadarshana. One sees, doesn't try to see, but sees. Trying to see something is an imposition on the mind. Seeing, which comes automatically by one's experience, is realization. So one actually sees each living entity as part and parcel of God. In other words, they see Krishna in the heart of the other living entities, whether it's a dog, it's a cow, even a cockroach, even the most insignificant living entity, they see them simply as being an element of spiritual, you know, energy. So that's the second stage. Mm-hmm. That's called Paramatma realization, realizing God in the heart of all living entities. But the highest stage is the personal realization of God. And without the personal realization of God, one cannot maintain these other stages. Although they're long-term, they're still temporary. One may achieve Brahman realization or Paramatma realization for thousands and thousands of years and lifetimes. But still, one will again fall down into the material energy, because love is the principle of existence, to exchange love. And that love is manifested on the highest platform when we develop our love for Krishna, which is Jiveya Sarupai Nitya Krishna Das, or Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema. Saduka Bunoi Sravanadi Siddhi Chitte Koriye Yudoi. That love exists in the soul. That love is for Krishna only. So until one comes to that platform, they haven't reached what we say the ultimate stage of perfection, Bhagavan realization. And Krishna describes that in the Bhagavad Gita, in the last verse in the sixth canto. Yoginam api sarvesham madgatendanatmanaha stradava bhajate yomam te me yuktatamo mataha. The one who serves me, abides in me, takes shelter of me, remembers me, makes me the object of everything, that's the best yogi. That's the highest yogi. That's the perfection of yoga. This whole sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita is called the Yoga Ladder, where Krishna is describing different stages on the ladder of yoga. You know, controlling the mind, controlling the senses, developing renunciation, meditation, prayer, various austerities and penances. These are all parts of the yoga system, but unless one comes to bhakti, bhakti means to serve Krishna with love. Ayabilasita sunya jnana kamana arvitam anukalenas Krishna silanam bhakti uttamam, which means to render service to the Lord with a desire to please the Lord. That's bhakti. So if you really want to know a very succinct definition or a simple definition of bhakti, is to try to serve God with a desire to please Him. Sometimes we serve, but the desire to please is not there. Then it's not complete. The service is nice, but the desire to please is what is the quality of bhakti. Now, the desire to please without the facility to please, or the results of pleasing Krishna, without the desire to please Krishna, is also incomplete. You may please Krishna without trying to please Krishna. How do you do that? Well, Krishna, just like the demons, they do that. They please Krishna because Krishna likes to fight. Prabhupada says, where do you think you get your propensity to fight from? It comes from Krishna. Sometimes it's our main propensity, but anyway. But it's also there in Krishna. And Krishna comes to the material world just to, as Prabhupada said, to flex his muscles so he can work out a little bit. Because there's nobody to fight with in the spiritual world. So he comes to the material world to fight. And so Krishna fights with the demons, he kills the demons, the demons get liberation, and Krishna is pleased, but they don't get bhakti. Why? Because their intention is not to please Krishna. So bhakti without, or activities without trying to please Krishna, falls short of pure devotional service. So therefore Prabhupada said, my dear Lord, I'm simply trying to offer this with you. Please accept my offering. It's for you. That's bhakti. It's so simple. Let me try to do my best to serve you in a way that is pleasing to you. So therefore, pleasing Krishna means really knowing about how to please Krishna. What does Krishna like? What does Krishna like the most? Krishna likes a lot of things. But we can talk about the element of bhakti, which is the thing that makes everything pleasing. But even there is elements of activity which are more pleasing to Krishna than others. Like, if you're sitting in the kitchen and you have mangoes and apples, and you can only offer one to Krishna, which one would you offer? Mangoes, because he likes mangoes better than apples. He's a person. He has likes. He likes bhakti, but he also likes certain things. He likes mangoes. Prabhupada said he's the king of fruit, and Krishna likes that. So find out what Krishna likes and offer to him with devotion, just like that. Just like the spiritual master also. Something we see, the spiritual master has certain likes and dislikes too. Just like one time somebody gave Prabhupada this, what was it? It was a donut with some glaze on it. And Prabhupada just licked the glaze off and didn't eat the donut. And then he said to the devotees, everyone has their taste. So, this is about as human as you can get, right? Right? You know, some people like red cars, and some people like white cars and blue cars. I don't like red cars, but some people like red. So, each person has tastes, desires, likes, and dislikes. Of course, our likes and dislikes are formulated in this world by our experiences. But there is an element of what we say individuality. And that element of individuality is very much there in Krishna also. So bhakti means try to think of how to please Krishna in the nicest way. On a more practical level, what pleases Krishna is cooperation. That's very much pleasing to Krishna, because Srila Prabhupada also said, if you want to show your love for me, you cooperate. And that's the highest principle of what we say social interaction, is learning how to cooperate with others in a manner that is that we are working together to serve Krishna as a unit and not as just a bunch of individuals trying to get their own points. You know the difference between heaven and hell? Did I ever tell you that story? You heard the story of what is heaven and what is hell? Well, there's one story. It's actually coming again from Satchinandana Maharaj. He wrote this beautiful prayer called The Community of Care. And in there, there's a long description of devotee care, devotee association. And there's one little antidote when one man, he says to St. Peter, St. Peter, what's it like in hell? And St. Peter said, let's go to hell, I'll show you. So they go to hell, and it's lunchtime. So everyone is sitting down, the bell rings, and everyone sits down on this real big round table. It's round. And in the very middle of the table is all the food. Now, everybody has these very, very, very long, long spoons that reach from their seat to the middle of the table. And when the bell rings the second time, it's time to go. So the bell rings, and everyone with their long spoons is digging into the food that's in the middle of the table and trying to turn it around and put it into their mouth. And it's falling all over the place, and they can't do it. The spoons are too long, and it's the food's way over there. And everybody's getting angry, and it's upset. And then that's hell. So then he said, okay, now I know what's hell. Well, can you show me what heaven's like? So they go to heaven. Same thing. There's a table. The bell rings. Everyone sits down. They sit around the table, and the food's in the middle, and everyone's got these real long spoons. Same thing. And the bell rings, and then everybody takes the spoons and feeds the person next to it. That way everyone can eat. So instead of trying to take your spoon and feed yourself, you take your spoon and feed somebody else. And that way everyone gets to eat. Difference between heaven and hell. So that also is a very important principle in learning how to practice devotional service. We do our own service, and that's important. But we should also see that to serve the devotees is more important than serving Krishna. And cooperation really means following instructions, learning how to follow the authorities and work together in a very cooperative way. That does not minimize one's ability to be creative or individual. In fact, it expresses one's individuality in a very, what we say, unified way. One can have ideas and one can develop more and newer ways to serve. But at the same time, one sees one's service as an opportunity to please Krishna, to please the devotees. In other words, it's not about me, it's about Krishna or about the devotees. And that way, it becomes more about you when you put yourself second. That's the material consciousness is, I'm first, and whatever I have to do to satisfy me. Even that's why families break up. That's why things break up, because even in the family, everyone's thinking, what about me? What about me? You have to satisfy. I get married, so you satisfy me. I'll satisfy you. That's the program. And you satisfy me. But then when the breakdown of satisfaction comes, then the relationship gets strained. But if each person's thinking about the other person, then both persons get satisfied. Isn't that right? Of course, it doesn't work if half of them are doing it and half of them are not doing it. In other words, it has to be complete in order for the principle to work perfectly. So cooperation. Narada Muni, it says here, he's so loved that even the demons, who are by nature very envious, Krishna explains the nature of demons in the Bhagavad Gita in the 16th chapter, and one of the qualities is enviousness, very strong envy. If somebody's better or more qualified, or more, what we say, materially adept, not adept, but materially nourished, then a demon is a person who feels unhappy to see that. So, but when they see Narada Muni, they know he's a great saint, because he's such a great saint that he can go anywhere and be with anyone, and everyone feels comfortable. He talks to Kamsa, gives Kamsa some instructions, talks to Daksha. Daksha had a problem with Narada. He's the only one in the whole Bhagavatam that, what was his program, you know, where he was very expert at sex life. So you can see the pitfalls of sex life. Because if you're sexually inclined, you don't like sadhus. Because they're completely opposite. So that's a problem. So that's why, you know, we had Narada. Daksha, you know, he didn't hate Narada, but he thought Narada was interfering with his program. So, but the demons, even demons somehow respect Narada Muni. So, and that's mentioned in the prayers by Srinivasacharya to the Six Goswami. Dira, dira adira, priya priya pujito, nirmatsarat. Nirmatsaram. Nirmatsaram means without envy. Nirmatsaram, no enviousness. And then the six Goswamis were also like that. They were loved by the gentle and by the ruffians. That's a quality of a great soul. Okay, so the importance of cooperation. And Prabhupada said, he said, if you want to show your love for me, cooperate. That's all. And in Kali Yuga, it's the hardest thing to do. It's the easiest thing to say and the hardest thing to do, to cooperate. But therefore, cooperation is a great austerity. And it takes organization to create cooperation also. So therefore, the mood of devotional service is to organize things in such a way as devotees learn to cooperate with each other. And success in one's devotional service comes not by individual expertise or individual, what we say, efforts, but by learning how to cooperate. Why is cooperation so powerful? Because it brings the mercy of Krishna. When Krishna sees cooperation, he blesses those devotees in that project what's success? So, and it's a principle of practice. We have to practice to cooperate. Cooperate around the instructions of the spiritual master, around systematically working together to follow the instructions of the temple authorities. And as long as we cooperate together, everything goes. Even if there's some mistake on a higher level, cooperation overshadows that, because cooperation is so powerful that even Krishna sees cooperation more important than expertise or being right and wrong. The difference between being right and wrong is the difference between learning how to cooperate and not. So it's difficult. It's not easy to practice cooperation. But how do we do that? We actually see that cooperation is for our own benefit. Learning how to cooperate. My god sister Lakshmi Moni, we were together at the Slovenian camp, and that was her whole presentation seminar. She gave a seminar on cooperation, and she came up with hundreds, like maybe not hundreds, but many, many, many quotes from Prabhupada on cooperation. And I was amazed. I never saw so many quotes. Just the word itself, she found so many times in Prabhupada's statements and in his books. And it explains cooperation. And she gave a very interesting seminar on the whole principle was cooperation. Because in Kali Yuga, the principle of devotional service is the principle of achintya, beta-beta-tattva, beta-beta-tattva. To be different, but at the same time to be the same. To keep your individuality, at the same time work together in a conjoint way. People think I have to lose my individuality in order to amalgamate with the whole. Or to keep my individuality, I have to stay outside of the whole. But one has to learn how to do both. Be an individual within the community or within the core. And that takes practice. And you do that by developing your own relationship with Krishna in devotional service and using that as a way to serve both the devotees and Krishna. Everyone has some talents. We were talking about that the other night at the home program. Devotees have so many talents, so many resources, so many abilities. We just have to learn how to use them in Krishna's service. Even if you're a fighter, you can use fighting in Krishna's service. There's certain things you can't use in Krishna's service that are sinful, but practically all what we say abilities and traits can be used in Krishna's service. So many things you can use. Okay, any questions? Yes. Mm-hmm. He'll take what you offer with devotion, but if you offer something he likes, that makes it even nicer. Devotion is what Krishna loves. Don't get me wrong. No matter what you offer, if you offer with devotion, that's perfect. But then again, he is an individual, and he does have certain likes. So if you can find, that's why Radharani is so expert at pleasing Krishna. She knows exactly what makes him what he likes, and she can take that knowledge of Krishna and use it to serve him in a loving way. So, just like I can offer you something, I can say, well, here's a gift for you. And you might say, well, thank you very much. Thank you for thinking of me. But if I gave you a gift you really like, not just the gift, but the gift that you really like, that makes it even nicer, doesn't it? Makes the element of giving even takes it to a higher level. So that's the art of bhakti, is to think how best can I serve, not just how can I serve, but how best can I serve.
So In regards to what you were just sharing then, what is the place? I mean, because we've heard, we know that Krishna loves mangoes. And given that
Prabhupada said it's his favorite fruit.
So given that, you know, the process of offering is partly so that we can connect Krishna and his energy, you know, in a loving manner, what is the place for things that Krishna likes and Krishna will gladly accept if offered with love, but he doesn't, you know, it's not the top. What is the place of things like, let's just say, apples, to give a very general
example? Yeah, that's nice. That's okay. You can offer what you have, but if you can do it, if you can offer something better, then that's nice. Krishna will accept your offering if it's offered with love. Now, if you offer mangoes without love, that's not as good as offering apples with love. So it's love that makes the offering, but at the same time, when you take the love and you bring it to the perfectional state by pleasing the person, by finding out what is their personality, what are they like? Just like, I know some devotees like pizza. So you make them a pizza. Right? Not like I know one devotee. Huh? I know one devotee, he loves curd rice. South Indian, right? Curd rice, right? And you give him curd rice, wow, thank you very much. It says that Radharani, she likes, what is that kind of chutney? Radha red chutney? Plum chutney, okay. So on Radharani's appearance day, you make plum chutney. Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Radhanaswami used to tell me he likes paratas. So we used to make paratas on Bhakti Vinod Thakur's appearance day and disappearance day. Right? So that's one thing. What's Prabhupada's favorite color when he sees the deities? Who knows? He has a favorite color. You dress the deities in, and Prabhupada really likes it. Powder blue or sky blue. That's his favorite color. If you take white with a little light blue, mix it in, that color scheme is very, Prabhupada was really like that color. So, you know, so you can figure out how to serve someone, but you can figure out how to serve them in a pleasing way. So that's a little extra. That's nice. But when bhakti's there, it's always nice. That's the goal, ultimately. But then there's bhakti ras. Bhakti ras is bhakti with ras. Yes.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Thank you for the class. Maharaj, I have two short questions, more like clarification. Maharaj, you know, you mentioned that without Bhagavan realization, the other two is incomplete. Paramatma and Brahman.
They're complete, but ultimately, they're not permanent.
So Maharaj, my question is, you know, when we read in Bhagavatam and Krishna book where the demons are killed, but they get liberation, that means that's a temporary post, meaning that they will come back down again in the material.
Yeah, the course of time, yeah.
Oh, okay. Maharaj, the other question is, end of the purport, it's mentioned that Narad Muni is independent and unbiased, and the devotee should be like that. Now, my mind is very pleasing that it says that we should be independent, but I don't think I understood it right. Is that what it says? It says Narad Muni.
One should be completely independent and unbiased. I think Prabhupada means independent here is not showing favorites to one or another, treating everyone equally. Treating everyone equally. How do you treat everyone equally? You can't treat everyone the same. You see a little kid, you say, please accept my humble obeisances. The kid's going to think, what's wrong with this person here? You little kid, you give him a present, you pat him on the head, and you say something to make him happy. You show some affection that way. So you deal with each person accordingly. That's being independent, but the mood is to treat everyone equally. No, therefore, Prahlad Maharaj says, friends and enemies, devotees don't have these. Devotee doesn't have friends, he doesn't have enemies. Treats everyone like a friend. And he makes no enemies with anyone, even though his enemies will make enemies with him, still doesn't make anyone. You know the story? There's a story where a hunter, he's in the forest, and a tiger comes along. And the hunter sees the tiger, and the tiger's running after him. So the hunter's running away from the tiger, so he runs up a tree. And in the tree, there's a bear. Now, the tiger's on the bottom, and the hunter says to the bear, "Hey, Mr. Bear, you know, why don't you just push that hunter down here?" The bear says, "I'm sorry, he takes shelter of me. I can't do that." So the tiger's thinking, "What should I do?" Then the tiger goes to the hunter, "Hey, hunter, why don't you push that bear down?" So the hunter thinks, "Yeah, good idea." So he tries to push the bear down, but somehow the bear hangs onto the tree and is not able to push down. So then the tiger says to the bear, "He tried to push you down. Now push him down." The bear says, "We don't exchange evil for evil. I can't do that." Huh? Yeah. Yeah. Please bear with me. The point is, if someone does something wrong to you, you think I have to do it back. That's not Vaishnava. That's what it means to be unbiased and independent. Yeah. Daksha was cursing Narada. Narada didn't, he could have said something to curse Daksha, but he didn't. He just accepted it. So that's a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava is not one who's trying to get something from someone. He's trying to give something to someone. A Vaishnava is one, he's like a desire tree. She's like a Dachaya tree. If you want something, go to a Vaishnava. That's all. If you need some money, ask him. If you need some time, ask him. If you need a favor, ask him. If you need something, ask him. That's a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava is more happy to be asked to give something than they are to try to get something for themselves. That's a Vaishnava. So that's Narada. So he's completely independent. He doesn't depend on anybody for anything. And at the same time, he treats everyone equally. He's a friend to everyone, even to the demons. So. Nice story about the bear, huh? So, you would think, naturally you would think if someone, if you gave somebody something and then at the same time they turned around and slighted you, you would be angry and try maybe be a little bit, you know, tit for tat. But the devotee doesn't think like that. The devotee thinks, if this person's acting like that, there's some reason for that. Any other questions? Okay, thank you. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
I'm sure you could tell this person is a person in prison, and they write pretty...